So, hello, welcome. And let me ask a question. The title says, what does it say? Oh, Surf With Us, the Enlivening Agile Movement. Who has heard the expression, surf is up? Americans, and also, yeah. Well, it's a Californian idiom that means something like, hey, dude, the waves are high enough, let's get started. And so the reason I've chosen this for the title of the conversation about where is the movement, where are the edges, and where are the waves, where they are coming from and where they are heading, what is in the future. I think it's an exciting conversation. At least it's exciting for me. That's why I invited you from Enlivening Edge, because 2 years ago, I think it was probably in the same room, we had a workshop with a similar title, and that was Surf the Enlivening Edge. Because the Enlivening Edge is not only a metaphor about the movement, but it's also the name of our project community that started as a newsletter 3 years ago, became a website. 2 years ago, we still had a motto, news from next stage organizations. And 2 years ago, Enlivening Edge, the news hub, was the center of the workshop. It was about what we are doing and whether you want to play with us. Since then, a lot of things happened, but the main thing is that the movement is became more alive. So we thought that if you want to do a service to the whole, then this year, this workshop about the surfing shouldn't be Surf the Enlivening Edge or magazine, but surf what is new, what is exciting in the movement. Of course, Enlivening Edge is a part of it, like we can't say anymore that we are just a news hub, because it's not only about reflecting back to the field what is happening, collecting and disseminating the great stories of the TIL movement. We are doing much more than that, so it would be a more appropriate descriptor of what Enlivening Edge is if we say it's a movement hub. Like we have community projects, we have on Facebook, we have an Enlivening Edge community on Facebook with more than 900 members. And if we would accept everybody who is interested in TIL, then we would have probably 2,000-3,000, because it's a professional community, so there are some requirements who can join. And one is that people at least read the book or are doing something with it. So that just to say that, here in our, on the back page of our brochure, that there are a couple of more copies left, there is a little map of the various projects that Enlivening Edge is engaged, and there is also the URL that if you put it in your browser and go to that page, then suddenly, miraculously, this little map becomes interactive, meaning that you can click on every little circle and learn about what those projects are doing. So I guess that's enough about Enlivening Edge itself. Unless, Alia, do you have something that you would add to it that it would be important to know?
I think it's important to know that whatever the projects are
is emergent from whoever the people are. There are needs that are sensed out in the larger group of people interested in creating organizations that are kinder and more wonderful to be involved with. And so the current configuration of projects here reflects the people that are involved, and new people will catalyze new projects for us, and we could make a large map also of projects that have come and gone. So it's definitely a very dynamic kind of thing. It isn't that Enlivening Edge consists of this period. That's just the current photograph of now.
From our experience, what a lot of people are attracted to are the community conversations. I haven't been very often, but I know somebody called Will is leading on that. And are they every 2 weeks, I think, on a Thursday afternoon? And they are very popular. There are hundreds of people signed up. And Alia can tell you more about the conversations themselves because you've been present. They're definitely very popular.
Yeah, and Enlivening Edge is an organization for now unincorporated organization, and what is also worth noting that we are really walking our talk. So it's not only about promoting reinventing organization, not only about promoting teal and self-management, but we are doing it. And we are doing it, our work system is governed by the Holacracy Constitution. We are lucky for having a great Holacracy coach who made all the difference about how effectively we can use Holacracy. And we actually grew to love Holacracy because it makes our work more effective, more efficient, even more enjoyable. Well, Holacracy does not cover all the aspects of relating with each other, and Brian Robertson is very open about that in his book. That's why he suggested to complement the holacratic structures with the tribe space that we do, and that's one of the most popular features in our life as a community, that we come together in conversations about, not necessarily about work, just about who we are as people. So, I guess I just moved on to what is happening in the movement. Not that I know everything that is happening, but I'm in the enviable position of knowing a lot about it because we are receiving a lot of news. There was at the beginning, we had to chase people, would you write something? And now we are receiving also unsolicited submissions. So that's why what I'm saying is the enviable position of knowing a lot, and it's also a little bit of burden because we don't just want to know a lot, more importantly, we want to share as much as we can. And we are a small bottleneck compared with the huge volume of interesting things that are happening in the world of TEAL / Next Stage organizations. So what I would like to do is show some of the edges, some of the emerging edges. Yeah, the waves are high enough to surf. Let's get started. So let's get started. What do you say?
Is that you?
Well, if these waves were information waves, then I could be. So we started here in a kind of improvised collaborative mapping of the Thiel movement by putting different categories on. And then just before the session, I walked around to do very subjective judgment calls about those noteworthy items on our list that I consider as the edge, as the salient point, as what represent the moving into the next stage of the movement itself. So this, if you want, you can turn towards it, but I will just walk by the wall and talk, say a few words about those salient items. Starting with the books. Well, you, of course, you all know the Reinventing Organizations book by Lalu, but something that I find very noteworthy, that it was published almost 20 languages. So that can give you a sense of the scope of how the spirit of Reinventing Organizations are spreading around the world, because it's not only a book, but there are the readers groups. And, you know, I can hardly wait until the whole movement is maturing enough that we would have more news coming out from every country where the movement is alive. And ideally, we would have a country correspondent, like we have the book on Chinese, Russian, Spanish, German, Dutch, Hungarian, and I don't remember all the other translations that the book was published in. And because I have a good imagination, so I can just visualize easily people in all these different countries reading the book, getting inspired by it, and trying to do something with it. And so my dream is that, actually it's not only a dream, because I'm advocating and trying to twist the arms of people whom I know in the different countries. Hey, why don't you write for us what is happening in your country? And It's started coming, but I'm not surprised that it's coming slowly, because people are so busy with doing what they are doing that writing about it is not that exciting. And it will become exciting only when the level of consciousness is getting higher than the national context, when people start identifying themselves with the global movement and start realizing that sharing news about local and regional events is helping everybody. It's giving them more exposure and potentially bringing to the local level more resources also. So it will come, I'm not complaining, but that's just where the edge is presently. Still, at the books, the other important book that I want to call our attention to is the Reinventing Organizations Illustrated. That's the picture book version of Lalu's Aro book. And it's not so illustrated, it's almost a misnomer, because it would make us think that, oh, so it's all the text plus a couple of images. No, it's more like a transmedia story, so that this whole story is told through the pictures and the text. And that makes it much more accessible.
The pictures themselves are, to use a technical term, psychoactive. They're not just comic book pictures. They convey, the pictures themselves convey something real, yeah.
But they got the message just by going through the illustrations, because they're very evocative. They make you realize what this is all about if you go through a few pages.
And if you are working in a large organization and want to be a troublemaker and want to make it relatively safe, then a good way to introduce these kind of radical ideas is just to share the book, the picture, the illustrated version, share it with a few colleagues, and invite them to a lunch meeting for a reading group, what they think about it. That's how I started. We didn't have a picture book, but in 1968, that's how I started the student movement in this country, by having another book that we read at that time, that was the Communist Manifesto. I can't prevent myself to tell this story because there's some funny connection. That so I just invited my fellow students, let's read this book and compare it with our reality of those years. See the contrast, and what became the reality of state communism. So but the sweet subversive act of using Lalu's book to introduce interesting how a management paradigm can also be. And actually, it's happening. So I haven't just invented this. And then online groups and networks. I already mentioned the Enlivening Edge community on Facebook. That is the Russian group, the Russian Teal Organizations group, Biryuzhovye Organizatsii. We have only the EE community on Facebook. We have only 930 something. The Russian group has more than 2,000 members. Okay, Russia is a much bigger country, but it's not bigger than the world, not bigger than the English speaking world. So that just shows that the level of interest in Russia and
so Живые Организации Facebook group, as far as I remember, is like maybe 100 or 200, and it's actually a part of a bigger movement, Живые Города, which perhaps you know, which is like, you know, includes not only the reinventing organizations and Teal, but also like more of an integral kind of community, I would say, in Russia, even though they don't call themselves integral.
Yeah, that's important. Thank you, Vlad. Vlad is one of the guys I had a chance to meet in St. Petersburg, last year?
Yeah.
So, the Russian group is not only about Teal, and so is the Enlivening Edge community on Facebook is not only about Teal. We have this concept of next stage organization as a broader category that includes many other movements and methods and approaches. Some people are also talking about the organization of the future. That's a little bit more ambiguous concept, because you know, CEOs are very obsessed with finding out what will be the organization of the future. Gallup and other opinion polls organization did research, and they found out that 70% or 80% of the CEOs have on their agenda to find out whatever they can about the organization of the future. So it doesn't mean that they want to go next stage in terms of the going to the next management paradigm. It means that there is a crisis of the old paradigm, and a lot of business leaders are trying to improve the situation, trying to save the old with making a little bit more human face. But that's not necessarily the next stage. And then we have other online groups, networks, like there is the Reinventing Organizations map, which is another map. Just before this workshop, we had Jeroen here presenting the Thiel Organizations map, which is both a map of geographically showing where Thiel organizations are, and also showing what are those practices used in those organizations that relate to the three Thiel breakthroughs. But interestingly, the map that Jeroen presented is not the only mapping project that is happening. Like, there is the Hungarian group, that's what they call themselves, the Reinventing Organizations map, and their map is right there on the wall. And that's a different kind of map. That is, it's basically an assessment tool for individual organizations and individuals, for people to calibrate where they are on the Thiel journey. And then there are many other maps in this Thiel organization space. Like there is one that I just learned about here, which is mapping the different practices. So it's focused not on organizations per se, but how the different Thiel-inspired practices relate to one another. And there is a fourth map that we are in touch with. Then, Jeroen, you remember the Thiel for Thiel group. They are doing a map where their ultimate intention is to create a platform where organizations can provide services to each other, and they intend to use some artificial intelligence, so it's technologically more sophisticated, but it's not yet in beta. If I take these pieces of information, just the four different mapping projects that I mentioned, isn't it curious that why is it happening? And why now? Do you have any idea?
That there are people in different parts of the world wanting to map a different aspect of the same movement.
Yeah, that certainly shows something about the maturation, so that the wave is high. And
The times of the world from Europe, the sailors wanted to make a world map. They were to discover the world, and so they were constantly editing their own sailing maps. That's what.
That's beautiful. We are really. I feel that's such a perfect. Metaphor that we are really about discovering a new world and moving into uncharted territories. So that's exciting times. And yes.
Perhaps it's a different metaphor is that perhaps the Thiel organization is, it has been born, it was a baby, and now it's adolescent, and an adolescent is seeking identity. Who am I? And one of the ways is to find out who am I in the world. At the same time, for example, in Belgium, it could be a microcosm of what's happening, because what we see happening is that after the, for example, the Thiel for Thiel movement, where all coaches were involved, now everybody is going through the maturation and or the adolescence and finding their own way. And in fact, there is a fractioning or fragmentation now, with some groups going more into. We have a lot of ULAPs, so the connection with ULAP, Deep Democracy, SEMCO style, and so on. So in a way, there's a fragmentation going on. But perhaps it's a natural thing for a movement to grow. So I don't know if it's necessary to try to. Like grasp what there is.
Vlad, I will give you the mic in a second, but I just want to reflect on what you said about the fragmentation, because many people think the same, that there are so many initiatives going in the same directions, and it's a fragmentation. There is something very beautiful in seeing it as a fragmentation, because that means that you can see these various initiatives as a fragmentation only from a perspective of higher consciousness where you are, from which they really belong together, so why they are separate, so it's a fragmentation. But if you think of also how an ecosystem, how a living ecosystem, biological ecosystem is growing. When I was in Hawaii and saw this beautiful lush vegetation, and I knew from the history of the island that a couple of millennia before, there was nothing but lava in the middle of the ocean. So I was wondering, how did it happen? How this beautiful greenery, like almost like a rainforest, how did it come into being in the middle of the ocean out from the lava? So I went to the museum and talked with people because I was really curious, and I learned that it started with the bird's poo, who are dropping seeds and sand, and so slowly it started. And what I also know about biological ecosystems, that the species in the ecosystem need to develop itself, need to develop themselves before they can be really useful for the ecosystem as a whole. The ecosystem is stronger when there is a higher diversity in it. So it's good that there are these separate initiatives. And as they mature, my bet is that they are going to find each other. And if the initiators of these projects go beyond their need to be the center of the universe, then what is very likely to happen that they will study, identify, name, what is the distinctive gift? How are they different? What is the unique contribution of each? And then out from that, they will discover the patterns of how they connect each other for the sake of a greater contribution to the whole.
Yeah, I just wanted to give an idea of how to change the word fragmentation to differentiation, because that's part of growing up as well.
Yeah, I've been just thinking, even though I do relate to what you said, both about, like, you know, this spirit of discovering the map of the new organizations and the spirit of Teal being growing up, and I do see that's true. I also have, like, another side of the coin which is a little bit skeptical, and it's not to be pessimistic, it's just like, you know, I see a risk here which I'm cautious about, so I want to put it forward and maybe we can discuss it and see, like, if it's true or at all and if there are solutions. Not that the spirit of the Teal which is, you know, growing, but it's the buzz of the Teal which is growing. Like, you know, with the book becoming really popular and everyone reading it and, like, it's marketing and all this stuff. So I see so many businessmen and CEO and entrepreneurs and all those people who are like, yeah, Teal stuff, Teal organizations, all of that. When it comes to, like, you know, bringing real change to the organization, sorry. And like, buzz around it is just, you know, uncomparable to the scale of the re-election as far as I see it. Maybe I don't see something. Now, maybe one of the reasons why there are all these groups, you know, coming around, like creating the groups and the gatherings and the events when they can talk to each other, is maybe that most of those people are mostly, you know, people with green values and green culture. And so they don't fit into the corporate culture of the world and the organizations and all that stuff, and they seek for each other so that, you know, they can find some like-minded people and finally, yeah, someone understands me. I don't have to always fight for all this green value stuff. And that's good as far as they are forming into the community of practice and they start doing something out of it. But what I'm really afraid of is that they often tend to just kind of, you know, circle into this closed group of people discussing with each other the stuff they understand and like, and not really bringing it out. And that's actually what unfortunately happened, as far as I see, to, for example, Russian movement of the living cities. For a couple of years, they were these enthusiasts, like, you know, talking to each other about the Teal movement and, you know, reinventing organizations and doing this and doing that. But since they were just among themselves, not really going out to those who don't share this kind of values yet, and just... And then it mostly disappeared to a big extent. And that's something I'm really afraid of, and I want to, you know, if the risk is there, like, what we can do for that.
I wanted to respond to that, but if you want to, can I respond? I'm just really not clear about what is the problem with that, with the fact that people just talk about things, if they're just feeling the need to talk about that.
They talk about it among themselves, right? It's like, okay, just like 30 minutes, 30 seconds out of topics, you know, to put it clear. For instance, a year ago, there was a case in Sweden when there was this eco-village called Söderbyn there in the island of Gotland, and which is all about, like, peace and, you know, different nationals being together and stuff. And then there was this military base built right, you know, in front of that eco-village just across the road, preparing for their military training. It was like in the middle of that, you know, conflict tension between Russia and Sweden and stuff. So they decided to make a like peace movement kind of thing, and they organized a No More War festival, which was like pro-peace, anti-war event. And basically what they managed to do, they gathered about 300 people who share this kind of no war, being with each other, like, you know, non-violent communication, this kind of stuff. And this
to have some practice, so
Oh, it works. Nice. Thank you. My name is Lada. I'm from Ukraine. I started to put the name teal.ua on some of the posters, but maybe not on everything. I am myself mediator, facilitator for like more than 20 years. And a few months ago, I was invited to join kind of startup, kind of initiative, teal.ua. And we are gathering each month in a business school in Kiev. And our idea was to develop this space for those who are interested either in a like alive organizations or reinventing organizations as a book or holocracy or whatever. And our idea was just to give this like a call for anybody who interested, just to let them come and ask the questions. But coming back to your question about the mapping and needing mapping, I have a feeling that there are people and generation which already live these principles, yeah, without any like reading any books in advance, yeah, yeah. At least we have some examples like this, some cases. Unfortunately, now it's just in Ukrainian language, but we hope that I hear your request to have more in English, so you will be like have this access to this example. Yeah, when first this group of young businessmen, let's say 20, 23 years old, they first started to live this, and just then they read the book. Yeah, so this is for me, it's kind of example. So mapping, maybe it's the need of others to understand like the tendencies, yeah, what is going on in the world. So mapping, it's maybe more our request to understand what's going on, what is growing, what is emerging, because it's emerging like itself, yeah, somehow, yeah. And the book is just like a supporting this, maybe somehow helping to understand what's going on, yeah, just putting this on some like shelves or whatever, or schemes. Yeah, thank you.
Did you say that you're from Ukraine? Oh, great, wonderful. Well, just to why I'm so happy about it, not only because Hungary is neighboring with Ukraine, but more importantly, we don't have any connection. We didn't have any connection until now with Ukraine. Perfect. Yes?
My name is Annette. I'm from Canada, and I wanted to respond to you, Vlad. There's something that touched me deeply with what you said, which is there are things that need to be done, and teal is ineffective. This movement is ineffective in getting to some of the places where organizations need to shift. It's not that it's dangerous. I don't think that people are meeting and are well-meaning wanting to change things. But for your example, the teal movement has been totally ineffective. Am I hearing that right?
Perhaps I'm seeking to find the solutions. Like maybe we should focus not on
So I work in healthcare. I work in Canada in the healthcare system, and I have to say that over the last decade, our organizations have gone from orange to red. And teal is very far away from what is a potential, and yet healthcare needs teal. And I think that frustration I picked up from you, that frustration I carry, and I think that frustration, I'd like to bring it into the room.
Thank you for doing that. My feeling is the night is the darkest before the dawn, and to be not only poetic but more practical, I suggest if you have not yet met with Anna, talk with her after the workshop. She is also working in healthcare. So I would like us to move. Yeah, so let's move on. So you heard some of the news about where are the waves and where they are heading, and you can also contribute to the movement by becoming an ecosystem catalyst. And what is an ecosystem catalyst? That's people who are connecting people, creating the right kind of supportive environment, and activating the co-creative social field. So how do we do that? It's by organizing meetups, sharing news with Enlivening Edge, and there are many ways in which you can contribute. And if you have any inclination to become an ecosystem catalyst, even if you don't know exactly what would that mean, I would like to ask you to contact me. And with that, I would move to the last slide I have, which is pointing to the future. Something that we have hardly reached the teal at a mass scale, but there is something beyond teal. And even if it's not here yet, but it doesn't hurt if we get a sense of what is on the horizon. And this quote that I'm putting on the screen comes from Lalu's book that he published 4 years ago. And very few people have ever noticed this little quote. So that's why I'm calling your attention to it. Evolution purpose as the attractor entity. It's conceivable that in the future, the evolutionary purpose, rather than the organization, will become the entity around which people gather. Isn't it an interesting thought? So what does it mean? A specific purpose will attract people and organizations in fluid and changing constellations, according to the need of the moment. People will connect in different capacities, full-time, part-time, freelance, volunteering, and organizations will join forces and disband in reaction to what best serves the purpose at the moment. When I read that the first time, I felt elated, I felt very much inspired, not because I know anything in reality like that, but it feels to me that that's where evolution wants to go. And we don't envision the little simulation game to feel into the future. So let's try to bring into the present a memory of the future, and Anna will explain how to.
So before we do that exercise, I still feel a tension to address something that Vlad said. I think there are many ways of responding, and one I've also observed those kinds of reactions, like the protest movement against something, but there will be many failed attempts also. I think not all attempts to create a better world will succeed, so there will be many failed attempts, and it's also good for us to learn what are the patterns in those attempts that are more likely to fail, and what are the patterns in those that may succeed. I can't judge anybody and don't know, but I'm just curious, you know, that what may be the pattern of why the energy of that protest has dissipated. It's like, it reminds me like going for a retreat and you feel great, and then after the retreat it's gone. It's because there's no structure for engagement to continue afterwards, to keep reconnecting to what brought you there in the first place. And so our exercise now is actually around finding that in ourselves, that part in ourselves to which we can always come back to reconnect, to get re-energized. So that's, for me, the practice or exercise we do now is around that, how to find that part in ourselves. And when times get difficult, that's always a good place to reconnect back, to know why the hell I'm doing something. Why is it important to me? Yeah. Okay. Can you just think? George wanted to explain something about evolutionary purpose first.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure whether evolution and purpose needs explanation, because we all have some sense of it. But to get us onto the same page, maybe it's good if I share what is and what it is not. Like, it's certainly not a vision that a vision of the future that we want to achieve. It's more like what is the greatest gift that we have as individuals or organizations? What is the greatest gift we have to give to life? What is the new, something that didn't exist before, and what we can bring into the world by realizing our highest potentials as individuals and as organizations? So it's very different from deciding for my child what she wants to be when she grows up. If I'm a good parent, then I'm not going to tell her that you should become this or that, but careful, paying attention to her life and her desires, her aspirations, and support what she wants to become. So that's the relationship of in any organization to the evolution purpose of the organization, realizing that it is the organization is a living entity, and we need to be attentive that given its resources, its capabilities, what can be the greatest potential of that organism. Similarly for ourselves, that if I want to discover my evolution purpose, I'm not starting with what I want to do with my life. I start the discovery process by listening to what life wants to use me for. Given my talents and capabilities, what life wants to use me for. I guess that's all.
We have 10 minutes left. All right, so we'll do the practice now. So that's how I relate to purpose, is what really matters to me so much that I can't help but want to be an instrument, or I make myself available as an instrument to manifest it in the world, because I feel it's like an energy moving through me. It's not mine. So the exercise I would like us to do is, if you just sit, it's a visualization or meditation. If you just sit comfortably, find a comfortable posture to sit on your chair. You can close your eyes or just look down in front of you, and just take a deep breath and just relax into the place where you're sitting. And then I would like you to call up on your inner screen an evolutionary purpose you want to work with. it can be your own individual evolutionary purpose, or it can be that of an organization or a group you want to work with, or you are already working with. Something that is work that matters to you, that's working itself out through you, that moves through you, that is your gift to evolution. If you can just stay with and feel into it, not just in your mind, but connect to your body sensations and the felt sense of what it feels like, how it makes you feel, and just notice it. Notice what it does to your emotions and what thoughts emerge from it. And when you're ready, then just open your eyes and now find, maybe we can split up in groups of four, three or four, and find partners to sit in a little circle. Okay, is that the number? Yeah, okay. Let's go in triads, in groups of three. Yeah, because I'm facilitating.
How about you?
Are you in? Do you want to join?
Yeah.
No, you're already... If it doesn't work out just before, it's fine. Okay, yeah, but it's difficult for me to... Maybe you just do it with George, it's fine. You just go as a pair. Okay, so I would like you now for each one... Take it in turns and speak from what you have just, what came up for you, what you experienced, and just speak from that. It doesn't have to be very much, just what's present, alive for you at this present moment. So maybe we go to a person A, if you have A, B, C, so person A speaks first and then can go to the next person, B, and then C. Oh, just a minute. Then let's switch over to person B. If you just share what's present for you, what's alive for you, from what you heard and what came up for you.
You mean the shared or evolutionary purpose that you have?
Yes. Yeah, it's about sharing the evolutionary purpose. Okay, and if because we are short of time, so if person C can now share what's their evolutionary purpose, what's come up? So I hope you all had a turn in expressing your evolutionary purpose. I would now like to, for you to sense into a coherence. So we had three individuals talking about their what came up for them as their evolutionary purpose. Okay, all right, well. But we do need to finish at a certain time. So yeah, let's 1 minute. Well, now sense into the coherence. Sense into the coherence. What's a higher level evolutionary purpose that integrates the two, the individual ones that you've heard? Yes, yes, that's not excluding anyone, but that's including and transcending the individual. So once you discover what's your shared evolutionary... Okay. All right. I just feel under pressure of time. All right. Okay. Okay. Now, sense into what's the higher coherence, something that includes all three but transcends them. So, well, something which you can all align with, but it's not your individual necessarily, something that you can all, yeah. You did it? All right, so when you're ready, then I would like you to imagine you are a constellation that's bringing an organization into being. So what would you do together as a constellation of your various individuals? What could be an action, what would we do together? And I give you post-it notes, there are post-it notes and pens. If you can please write down an answer or word for the three questions. What is the evolutionary purpose of your particular constellation? What could you do together as an action? As an imagined action? I didn't do that. What would you do? What could you, in this kind of constellation, could you do together? What could you imagine to do together if you were with those people? Just think of a possible action. Once you discover the answers to your questions, we can just have a quick plenary to share what came up in every group.
A new fork, meaning you branch out?
Yeah.
But you don't lose your fork.
I know.
to remember the question.
Yeah, we're helping each other.
Great. Well, yeah, that's the whole idea. Okay, can you bring come to a closure, please, and come back to the circle? Seems a lot of possible activities happening here.
I think we need to do it quick. So
just do it very quick now, yeah. It's just like two words. So let's go around. Maybe, do you want to start?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was with George, and we shared both our impulses, or evolutionary impulses. And so the impulse of George is to amplify the collective intelligence of Thiel and to accelerate the evolution in cultural level and organizational level. And my impulse is really to co-create with people. Wherever I meet somebody, I want to co-create whatever that leads to and actually make it manifest afterwards and not just lose what we are just co-created, which just happened with George. So what we co-created is actually amplifying even more embracing technology with the Thiel practices, and this technology is specifically blockchain. And maybe you heard about it. It's the technology behind Bitcoin. And it is basically Bitcoin. Yes. And it is a technology that creates or that opens a lot of doors to decentralized organizations. And there is a new technology that is more scalable and that can make it possible actually to organize as what the quote from Frederic Laloux was, which is, people coming together for a common purpose, and then when the purpose is finished, then we just dispatch, but we don't want to lose what we did before. And that technology actually can make it possible for us to come together in a purpose, and then when it is finished, to fork out or to branch out and still keep our roots from the past and then go into another new constellation while keeping our full autonomy and being well connected with all the groups we were in. It just very much inspired by nature and by how cells organize, and then they can die, and then the atoms organize afterwards into another cells. And so we are very much curious about where that will lead afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Try and keep it as short as possible.
Can you please read what you wrote?
Oh. If you have written down, yes, I can
collect. Okay, we put our evolutionary purpose as trying to get it simplified, taking organisations to their next step, whatever level that they're at. And the do, put our names on the map, so get acknowledged, get acting, things like regular meetups for support. We talked about working with organisations, helping them go through mourning processes and doing shadow work and things. We didn't really shape that up too clearly, did we? But we enjoyed the conversation.
That's most important.
the evolutionary purpose that emerged with us is being the conduit of the not knowing to become the teacher for learners. With our next steps, setting up learning spaces, sharpening practices that work with open-ended questions, and convening learners to come to the learning edge.
So our evolutionary purpose is not yet the word, but a kind of vision. There's the kind of dots of lights a lot, and it's connecting by Anna. And he's a kind of inquiry moving dot lights through all the lights, like connecting each other and inquiring the questions and answers. And it all of them are kind of expanding the consciousness of human being to the whole ecosystem of this planet. So this kind of direction might be our evolutionary purpose, and the next step is.
Well, a representation of that purpose could be a project like a learning program, perhaps, where individuals or teams could be able to move and live through completely different lifestyles and completely different perspectives and perceptions of the world. Let's say, like, you know, an eco-village and permaculture and this kind of stuff for a couple of months, and then like urban, technological, futuristic kind of environment for a couple of stuff, and then like business environment, which gives you a completely different pictures of perceiving the world and, you know, understanding how things are, and then bring them people comprehend that experience and try to give birth to something more holistic as an individual and collective lifestyle.
Thank you. I think the common theme in our group was, or what our purpose is, to listen to the voices that haven't been heard or that we don't actually listen to. And it was non-Western voices from medicine point of view, and for me it's also the shamanic spirituality, and another one that is nature, that has been very absent in this conference about living organizations, in the sense that we haven't invited it in. And that's, I think, for me, is essential, by doing nature retreats, bringing business people into nature. So I think it's also the listening to the voices not heard is really how important it is to listen to frustration and the dark side. Like even in the conversation here, is we need to bring up the two sides of the polarity to be able to make change and listen to not only the positive dreaming future, but also the dangers and because that's the only way we have to bring them into the light, into the presence. Otherwise, we can't transform. Anything else, my colleagues?
It's okay.
And what's the action?
We are already relating, giving each other hints. Lieve will give a speech tomorrow. She will about blockchain, by the way. I think if we would have had a bit more time, we could have done more.